It's very good to be with you. I'm the Via brother that doesn't get to travel. The rest of them come and see you, and they say it's because they need me back home, but I think it's just because they're embarrassed to take me in public. So anyway, it's really great to be with you. So I come bringing greetings and love from Via Lethbridge, that we think the world of you. And so even just sitting here this afternoon with you guys, you feel really good, if I can say that in a non-creepy way. Like, you guys are a really beautiful community, an expression of what it means to be in Via. And so I mean it when I say that I consider it an honor to be with you guys. So back home, part of my responsibilities is I get to work in what's called Corpus Christi, which, can you just show me who's in that? I get to meet you all later in that setting. But and so what that is it's really Via's tool and avenue of discipleship. And so I get to do that. So I'm really excited to gather with you guys later today. But I just want to talk a little bit before the bishop comes and brings us to the table about what it means to be in Via in terms of even our discipleship and our growth and our identity as a people. And so I'm going to read from John chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, you can go there because I didn't tell them for the PowerPoint. And we're going to look at the story of Nicodemus, mostly because I write it in my notes all the time. I will probably call him Nick. But Nicodemus is a guy that I think is largely misunderstood. He's a lot better guy than people think he is. And so when we start verse 1 of chapter 3, John starts it like this. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him." So this, I think we instantly hear the word Pharisee and we go, "I don't like that guy." It's like our default, the way we've been taught the scriptures for a long time. But if you think about this guy, hear the things that he's saying. He's like, "Jesus, I see you as from God. I see you as important. I see you as a messenger from God. The signs that you're doing are significant. You have my attention." He's valuing Jesus. But what we see about Nicodemus is that this is probably taking place at night because this guy can't sleep. You can almost picture him. He's a devout man. He loves God. He seems awfully genuine. And so here he is. He's probably at home in his bed, and he's laying there trying to solve the Jesus conundrum. Right? Because this guy is in when it comes to the Jewish faith. And now Jesus comes on the picture and he's going, "Okay, what do I do with this guy? He's obviously from God, but how does he fit into my religious life and practice?" So he's wrestling with it. And then there's all of the difficulties of the fact that not everybody is believing in Jesus. Not everybody is keen on this guy coming to town. But Nicodemus, who's a ruler in the faith, is going, "I cannot get him out of my head. I can't just dismiss Jesus." So in the night, we don't know how late, he comes knocking on Jesus' door, wherever he's staying. I can imagine, I'm staying right now with Will and Heather, which is a oasis utopia. I was sitting at your kitchen table this morning looking out at this. There's this one point where I was looking at my phone, and then I looked up and I went, "What am I doing?" And I just put my phone down and was like, it's just gorgeous. But so you can imagine, Jesus is staying at somebody's house, and it's the middle of the night. Imagine Jackson Wall. I don't know if he's in the room right now. Oh, he's downstairs. Jackson and I, we were in a small group back in Lethbridge before he came here. And, you know, he's somebody I love. But imagine I'm at Will's house and Jackson comes knocking at the door at like 2 a.m. He's like, hey, Will, I need to talk to Ryan. Like, Will's not going to be super pleased with this. I mean, probably is because he's a godlier man than I would be. But anyway, so Nicodemus is coming and going, Jesus, we got to talk. I know it's late, but I got some stuff I got to get off my chest here. So he starts this off. I see that you're from God. You have my attention. You're stirring something in me. And Jesus' response to him is quite interesting. Jesus is way more socially uncomfortable than I am, I've decided. Right? Like in my mind, I'm trying to be as easy as possible all the time. And Jesus is difficult. He likes to mess with your brain and make you feel uncomfortable. Seriously. You read the Gospels? He's an awkward dude. He doesn't make things easy for people all the time. Anyway, so Jesus' response is this: truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So whatever Nicodemus is struggling with to understand the Jesus problem, I'm guessing Jesus' response to him is not helpful. Whatever he was laying in his bed frustrated over, trying to figure out, Jesus' answer to that is not helping him. It's making it worse. So the solution to you, Jesus, understanding what you're coming to bring and how this fits with Judaism and our religious practices and all that, the answer to it is that I need to be born again. Great. Super helpful. I'm leaving with so much understanding right now. So here's what we see Nicodemus' response is. You can imagine he's kind of quiet for a second. And he starts nodding his head as he's trying to process Jesus' information. So, let me get this straight. I'm going to be born again. So let's enter into Nicodemus' imagination for a moment. Here's what he says, verse 4. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? This is where Nicodemus' imagination is very important for us. How uncomfortable are you right now? However uncomfortable you are, Todd is more uncomfortable. He's going, what is Ryan going to say right now? So here's Nicodemus, and he is hearing Jesus' words, and now he is picturing what that is going to look like. So, whether this is a genuine question to Jesus or he's being sarcastic, it's the question I would ask. So let me get this straight. You want me to be born again. How was I born the first time? How am I going to do that again? we're just putting two and two together here. Now, if we're to enter into that process with Nicodemus, thinking about what that looks like, he is starting to get more frustrated. His mind's a bit blown right now. How is this helpful for me? Because what it's doing is that Jesus is perfectly pushing this guy's buttons. He knows Nicodemus' problem. Because what's happening for Nicodemus is he's going, I have my faith that I'm good at and I'm genuine in and my traditions and I'm ingrained in them. And now Jesus comes, who's obviously sent by God. And if he's right, he's changing everything. And I don't know how to put these two worlds together. So this is Jesus' statements to be born again are significant. Because what he's calling Nicodemus to do is for everything to be redefined for him. Everything must be rediscovered. Everything is changing. And he's saying, I don't just want you to make sense of me in your system, Nicodemus. We're going to go back before the system and we're going to change everything. We're going to change the way you see yourself. And so by calling him, this is essentially Jesus calling Nicodemus. He's saying, I want you, if you want me, you need to be reborn. So we need to go all the way back. And you need to be reconceived. You need to be rebirthed. You need to be redefined in your story. You need to re-understand everything about yourself. You need to re-understand God. All of it must be born again. All of it. And this is the number one thing that we find people struggle with in coming into Via, is we don't let anybody skip that process. Which means, I think it's Christ-like, but we're a pain in the butt. Because when people skip this process, skip this invitation and this calling, they lose Jesus. And the worst part about it is they're close enough to think they have him, to think that he's changed everything, but they're separated from all the benefits. And it's this frustrating disconnect. Because when Jesus is saying, I want you to be reborn, it means your whole life needs to be rediscovered, past, present, and future. So when we, the Corpus Christi journey that we take people on is thorough to ensure that anyone who calls themselves part of us, part of Via, is not disconnected from all the benefits of the gospel. That's why we do that. It's what drives us, is that we want it to be thorough so that everyone who is a part of us has all of Jesus. And what Jesus is calling people to is that if you want me, all of you needs all of me. So all that Jesus accomplished, all of you needs that. So who was at your guys' recent healing conference? So a bunch of you went to that? So this is why we love that stuff. Is that it makes us aware of the fact, I have a whole life before today that needs Jesus. True? So here's the problem, is that often our hearts want to go, man, my life was pretty good. I've always loved God, or I've always grown up in the church, or I don't have any big, messy stuff. You can imagine, that's Nicodemus. He's going, what do you want me to do? And Jesus is going, anyone that wants to be a part of me. And that means everyone must go back and be reborn. But here's the interesting thing. How? So you can imagine Nicodemus is trying to catch this. And this is his question behind, you want me to go back to my mother's womb? I'm quite large. I don't foresee that being a practicality that's going to work. So he's saying, how, Jesus? How does this happen? And what we see in verse 5 is he says, I want to set you up with healing sessions with Peter. He doesn't say that, does he? I had you for a second. You're like, where's that in the text? Right. So who has benefited from healing prayer stuff here? Anybody? There's a lot of us. So you asked this question back home with us. You know, you're going to get 300-400 hands put up. We benefit from this process. But in Jesus saying you need to be reborn, your whole life needs to be rewritten. All that junk, all that crap, all those wounds, all of that. Even just your comforts and how you see the world, all of it has to change now. Healing prayer has served us super well in that regard. But according to the scriptures, how this is done in the Christian life is primarily through this. So he starts the same way again. Truly, truly, I say to you, Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so what Jesus says is that the thing that is going to do this in your life. So we've, in Via, we bought into these principles where we're like, yeah, I see this. I see my need for this. I see my need to have Jesus in my past and rewrite my story. I see that. But the way Jesus says that that happens is actually through the waters of baptism. It's through the sacrament. So we heard that language of sacrament here, right? This idea that invisible things are communicated, are given to us through tangible physical means. And so what we see here is that Jesus is saying, you receive this. You're born again through water and through spirit. That it's not just that we think about baptism and we often go, well, that's a symbol of my new birth. But Jesus is saying, no, it's not just water. It's not just a symbol. It's water and spirit. That something transformative takes place there. So what we receive as Christians at our baptism, and the reason it's so essential, it's your birth certificate. It's your new beginning. This moment goes beyond time and changes you, redefines you, where you are united to Jesus. All that's true of him and all that's accomplished by him and all that was won by him is then fused to you. It's given to you. It's put in you. That sounds like good news. But this isn't the only time Jesus talks like this. Later on in John chapter 6, he says the same kinds of things. He says, you can't have me. You can't have the kingdom. You can't have eternal life unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. How's that for socially acceptable language? Right? Jesus would be great on Twitter. People would be like, what the? You want me to what? Right? Jesus is so radical that way. But part of what he's communicating in all of this is it needs to be wholesale. It needs to be all of you. And Nicodemus is a good guy. So even the good things need to be rewritten in him. His whole mind, his whole understanding needs a full-on shift here. And the reason for this is not just water and it's not just bread and wine. It's the Spirit. It's the very essence of heaven. It's the very nature of God being received in these tangible physical expressions. That's what's so radical about it, isn't it? And then he goes on. He says, Nicodemus, it's not, you think the whole rebirth thing is crazy to understand. I'm giving you my spirit. That's the real crazy part. Is I'm going to put my nature inside of you. So here's what happens in the Christian. And this is why Via is so committed to heart stuff. And your past and all of this is not because we really love to feel sorry for ourselves. It's not because we really love to relive hard moments. Oh, I had a great memory about my past. I really love feeling the pain again. It's just a pastime I have. Right? No, we don't like that. But we like seeing Jesus come and change that. That's why we love it. And we hold to the sacraments, not because it's like hipster cool to do old things. We like them because it's transformative. We like them because it's the way Jesus said, I want to change you. It's the way Jesus wants to transform you. So then they become this place where we go, if baptism is my birth certificate, where I remember once and for all, this is who I am now, then this table becomes it's your license in your pocket. It's the what you need to show who you are as you get older over and over again. This is who I am. This is who I am. This is who I am according to Jesus. It's your debit card. everything that you need to remember who you are and remember what Jesus has accomplished for you and everything that you need for today. It's why we do this weekly. It's all through the week. I'm like, man, this is hard and this is difficult and this is painful and this is wearing me down. And it's come here and get everything you could possibly need. This is a storehouse of grace. It's not just a symbol. This is somehow, it's like a portal into all of the heavenly benefits. What's crazy is me growing up a Pentecostal is that I believed I could get filled with the Spirit by Rob praying for me. I'm going to tell you a secret here, but Rob, he's way more messed up than you even realize. He's got more sins than I thought I could count. And I'm going to believe that grace can come through him for me, but I can't believe grace could come through his bread, a cup of wine that symbolized Jesus himself and his sacrifice. I eventually had to wrestle with the fact that, am I a charismatic or not? Do I believe in the miraculous? And I had to go, yeah. Then can I believe in the very place the church has gathered around for centuries? Going there to find my rebirth and to find my true identity and to feast on grace. Upon grace, upon grace. So for Via, what we are is we're a deep people that want Jesus not just for our present and for tomorrow. We want all of Jesus for our whole story. Amen? I want it rewritten. And even the good parts made incredibly great. That's why I want to receive Jesus in my story. But this place for me has become my present feeding ground. And what I look forward to next Sunday is that this is our future. My baptism was my beginning. This table is my future. Because in it, Jesus comes and is given to me exactly where I need it. Exactly for today. And so I find myself going, I like Nicodemus. These are good questions. But the answers are even more beautiful than I could have imagined. Because it's a new me.